welcome to a new episode of the Monday Mile podcast. This week, we are in Surrey, and we're linking up with a good friend of mine. For starters, I'm gonna put it out there and say she is one of the most low-key, talented humans I know. Known best for being a stunt performer and one of the top performers in the world today. Do the movies, Jumanji, Fast and Furious, Mission Impossible ring a bell? Lucy Cork is the lady behind the stunt.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Lucy, where are we?
We are in my local woods in Cobham. This is usually my running route. It's just a pretty little woods, really.
Yeah. You're newer to the running. I have been running with you a couple of times.
Yeah. And disappointed, right?
We're not competitive at all when it comes to surfing. Well, let's just say I'll leave the driving the cars to you.
But the walking, I think I would definitely walk more than you.
Yeah, you definitely walk. I'm going to claim that now. That's probably about the only skill set I have that I can do quicker than you.
Yeah, I agree. And running too. I'm not a runner, but I like to run. It's one of those things where I compete so much at everything else that running is just whacking a pair of trainers, putting a pair of headphones and just run. I don't even put on Strava because I don't even care about my time. I just run because I like it.
Feels good. Heads go.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Love that. Now, when it comes to egos, you definitely don't have one. You've stunted for some incredible people. Most recently, Cameron Diaz.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
One, I don't have an ego because in this industry, I mean, there are so many people that are better than me at everything. You know, you'll meet number one race drivers, you'll meet Olympic snowboarders, you'll meet people that are the best at their game, Cirque du Soleil performers. So there's no chance that I would ever have an ego because there are so many things that I don't know, so many things that I can learn from other people. I don't think I would ever have one and I would never want to. Doubling Cameron Diaz was pretty amazing. I mean, everyone knows her obviously for like the holiday, all those something about Mary. Meeting her was pretty cool, and doubling her was one of the best stunt jobs I think I've done. We did a lot of fighting, a lot of cool gags, and I was on second unit a lot, so it's the action unit, so a lot of the times you won't have the actors there, so they'll be on main unit doing their acting, and second unit is where the fun happens. Second unit, you don't get bored, you're constantly working and just doing all the action. So I like to be where the second unit action team is.
Absolutely phenomenal. You mentioned fighting.
Yes.
The skill set required to be a stuntee is vast.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you even begin?
So random how I got into it. I was pretty sporty from a young age, doing all the netball, rounders, hockey team, even only girl on the cricket team I was. Ebony would be proud.
Go on, Ebs.
I don't think she knows that.
Does she not?
Well, there we go. And then I went into pole dancing at the age of 16.
Now, that's quite a large transition from cricket to pole dancing. How does that come about?
Yeah, so obviously I loved always to dance and stuff, but I was never trained at it. I never went to ballet or tap or anything. And when it came to going to college, I actually didn't get into this Guildford College actually I applied for, and I couldn't get in because I wasn't a trained dancer. So I thought, what's a dance that I can do that I can start at 16 that probably no one's really going to do and I don't need to be trained at it? And I was like, pole dancing, I'm going to start pole dancing. Surprisingly, my mum, my stepdad, they were like, cool. So they literally let me have a pole in my dining room to practice.
Brilliant.
And I was obsessed with it. I would do it every day. I then did competitions, I taught it, I did events, I did music videos, you name it, I did it. But then when I got to the age of 19, I just thought, oh, Luce, you gotta seriously learn some more skills because there's only so many avenues you can go with pole dancing. So I had a mutual friend who was a stuntman, and I asked him how I become a stuntwoman, because back then especially, I mean, how do you start? Like, how do you get into stance?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
I know.
I mean, I don't want to. It sounds like far too much work.
Yeah, so then he was like, right, you've got to train at 6 disciplines.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of disciplines, right? And it takes a couple of years. So I knew that I had a couple of years of training along the way. So he took me to my first gymnastics lesson, my first kickboxing session, and I started from there. And then obviously it's quite pricey. So I went to my stepdad and I was like, look, Steve, I want to be a stunt woman. and weirdly enough, he actually knew a stunt coordinator. He was like, yeah, if she's a good height, she's got the skills up, then yeah, she'll make it. And so, yeah, that day he was like, right, you've got 2 years to train up to be a stunt woman. And I cracked on and I did all my skills.
Go on then, list out the reel of disciplines that you've got in your back pocket.
So the disciplines are gymnastics, trampolining, kickboxing, rock climbing, scuba, and high diving.
You say all of that very casually, like they're enclosed sports, the majority of them.
Yeah.
Other than the horse riding. But you also ride motorbikes and can drive cars extremely quickly.
Yes,
I've not witnessed that.
Not yet. We can go go-karting though.
We did go go-karting,
didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
And I definitely won, didn't I? Yeah. So
you won?
There's a little snippet.
And you kicked every man's butt on the track.
Oh, yeah.
I was so proud. Oh, that was bad. Talk to me about the driving.
Driving.
And the motorbike.
Okay. So driving, I actually never did it as a stunt because it's quite expensive and it takes quite a while. So
if somebody was looking to get into stunt,
yes,
would you say go for the more affordable option, the gymnastics, and then
later on? I mean, a lot of people do the driving, but for me, I knew that I should really concentrate on the things that I know I can do in those set years, along with horse riding. I mean, you try out all these sports, but you know, horse riding for me, it took way too long. And also, I don't like horses. So I thought I'd rather go smash out a high diving session, which in hindsight, probably that was horrific as well. So if anyone got me to high dive right now, I mean, it would take me quite a while to get up to height. I'd probably just start on the 3 meter board and then stay there for a while. But the driving itself, I started with Wade, actually, who took me obviously around the track when we were on Mission Impossible.
And who is Wade Eastwood?
Wade Lewis,
that don't know.
Wade Eastwood is my boss, one of my great friends, and he's a second unit director, and met him first of all on Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, where he first auditioned me for it, and got the job that day. And then I've been on his core team for the last 8 years.
I love how you say that so casually. Mission Impossible. That's what children look at and dream of. That's like not reality, but it's your reality.
Yeah.
Tell me about working on Mission Impossible with Tom Cruise and him using your move. This is gold. This is gold.
So basically, Wade called me and he was like, so I hear you can fight and you're good at swimming. And I'm like, yeah, pretty good. So yeah, auditioned and he was like, great. So got the job and straight away he was like, right, we want the actress to be all leggy because he knew I did pole dancing. So he used my strengths. And I'm pretty good, obviously, wrapping my legs around the poles. So he was like, right, we're going to do that on guys. Take out guys through your legs. And then he was like, right. And one of the gags, Tom Cruise needs to escape. And he's attached. I don't know if you've seen it, but he's attached to the pole like this. And he was like, right, what's the best way to escape, Lucy? And I'm there thinking, oh, my God, I don't know. Like, I know so many pole moves, but I don't know. And then we eventually came up with the pole hops. So basically it's with the pole on your shoulder and you hop up the pole. Tom loved it. And yeah, I had to teach him how to pole hop. It's just a funny situation, really. Tom there on the floor, like in this pole hop position, like, Luce, is this it? And I'm like, yeah, that's it, Tom, actually. That's it. That's really good. So yeah, it was quite weird at first, but I think you just kind of get used to it. So yeah, I did a lot of the fights with him and it was my first job, right? So I think he's seen me as well from being so beginner at something to then growing as a performer. And even so, like on Mission 6, when I moved into my house, I bought my first house and he actually bought me the the biggest chopping board I've ever seen. Still to this day, it's amazing. I still use it. And a voucher for John Lewis. And yeah, so I bought some stuff with that, obviously.
Tom Cruise did?
Yeah, Tom Cruise did.
Tom Cruise
yeah.
bought you a chopping board.
He did. He did. It was it's a good chopping board too.
Do you and I still got it?
I still got it. Still use it.
Can you make me a salad later?
Of course I can. And then I got signed, like, massive poster from him. You know, he signed it and everything. So yeah, it was pretty cool first job, I would say. And, you know, I've done a lot with him. Like, we did Mission 5, we did Mission 6, 7, The Mummy, Jack Reacher. So yeah, I've done a lot of movies with him.
Casual.
So cash.
Your friend Tom.
Yes.
Madness. Absolute madness. I love it. I absolutely love it. But what I love is how humble you are in your approach to all of it. Has there ever been a moment within any of these crazy scenarios and movies you've worked on where you've just gone, how? Did you ring the stepdad? Steve, I've done it. I've made it.
Yeah. I mean,
Tom Cruise bought me a chopping board.
I mean, they're super stoked, to be fair. It's a pretty dreamy job.
What's the day in the life like of a stunt woman? Because I know you train incredibly, incredibly hard.
A bit obsessive, aren't I? I love it. I mean, day to day, so say I've got a job coming up, usually we'll have a prep time, so it'll be 2 to 3 months of prep where you'll get the script, you'll break down the action scenes, break down the fights, whatever wide gags there's needed, whatever vehicle stuff there are in locations, and you'll have that time to prep. So usually, you know, I'll train in the morning. I usually start with a conditioning or CrossFit or spinning, some kind of cardio session, and then I'll go to work. Maybe we'll train again at whatever, some kind of martial arts, I suppose. And then we'll fight all day, pretty much. We'll have to put pre-vises together, which is where you'll put all the fights together and video them, edit them, see if the director likes them, and then obviously make some tweaks. And then usually I'll then train again later. So yeah, my day is full up of
exercise.
Of exercise.
When it comes to choreographing a stunt scene, how much involvement do you have in that process?
I have a lot, actually, because to be fair, I mean, when I'm double the actress, I have to look good for her. So therefore, I will probably pick moves that look good on me and moves that I know, and moves that I can teach her. You know, obviously there's some moves that I'm going to have to learn. But yeah, usually it's like my kind of fight style. We'll put things in that I can do. So
there's a huge element of artistry when it comes to putting a move on an actor and you.
Yeah.
Wow, I've never actually thought about the...
Yeah, and if there's a move that I can't
process.
Do, then we'll be like, nah, scrap it. If it's not working for me, it definitely probably won't work for her. You know, so we'll have to maybe, we'll put it together. If it doesn't work, we'll change it.
And when it comes to doubling, you mentioned the amount of training you do.
Yes.
The physicality, the load.
Yes.
And I have witnessed your training. I have trained with you, been lucky enough to train with you. You do work extremely hard. Is there a pressure when it comes to looking like the actress? For example, Cameron Diaz is blonde, but she's also very tall and very lean.
Yeah.
Do you ever find yourself in a situation of comparison?
Yes. I think comparison is one of those things where I still deal with. And it's one of the hardest things mentally, I think, that I have to deal with. Because say at the beginning of a movie, you know, you'll meet the actress and, you know, you'll be in good shape and you think, oh, I'm a pretty good double for her. And then they'll go to meet Sam Wade. Then Sam will put them on the diet. They'll give you their training. And then in a couple of months, they'll be a totally different person.
Yeah.
And you know, they'll be slimmer. And then you think, oh my God, like, I'm too fat for her. Like, I'm literally a rubbish double. And then you have to go to costume fitting. Then you go and put your pads on because obviously you're the person that has to do the hard knocks and the gags. And then you feel even worse about yourself. So that is one of the hardest things I have to deal with. But yeah, but luckily for me, I love to train. I love to eat well. So for me, if I need to really restrict myself, I can. If I do need to get in a decent shape. The funniest thing was when I was a Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, I didn't get much work before it. I thought, oh, I'm going to just train up to be a bodybuilder. Like, I'm musty now, right? But
you are an incredible Nick. For anybody tuning into the audio of this, Lucy has rippling abs, lean arms. She has the figure many women would desire for.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. But so I go on this diet on Mission Impossible Rogue Nation because Wade's like, you're pretty musty. You're going to have to to lean up a little bit. I'm like, okay, cool. So I go to this nutritionist and he literally puts me on a carb cycling diet. So Mondays and Thursdays were 600 calorie days, where I'd have white fish and vegetables. My snacks were grated carrot with MCT oil on. Tuesdays would go up to 1200 calories. Wednesdays were carb day, like 2000 calories. And then weekends I would fast from 12 till 7 p.m. And I got in really good shape, but the only thing with that was I had no energy. I was absolutely useless. I would cry every day. My mood was all over the place. I had no energy. I couldn't lift mats. I was absolutely useless. I'm surprised he actually even kept me on the job. But I needed to get leaner, and I did. But now I think it's more of a balance about if people want to hire me, they hire me because of my skills. And to keep those skills up, I have to eat. I have to fuel my body. I have to train hard. So now I've kind of found a balance of being in good shape for the actress, yet still being able to do my job.
To do you. To you do know me. What? That is incredibly strong. Because at the start of that, I was thinking, this job, this scenario, this situation could create a huge complex. But the fact you found yourself within that.
Yeah.
You sound like an Olympic athlete.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I train well, that one. No, I don't. No, and also now, like even meeting you, we go wake surfing all the time. And, you know, I used to spend my weekends obviously training at things that I couldn't do, like drifting, or I would go train at things that were my weaknesses and turn them into strengths. But now I've done that quite a few years. And now I've kind of found a balance of having fun. Like we go wake surfing. I play tennis. We go paddle tennis. And I'm kind of finding my like flow of just doing things that are actually just fun and exercising just because I like it and not because I have to because of my job.
I can imagine that puts a huge amount of pressure on exercising.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, every time I exercise, you know, I'm thinking, oh, am I burning? How many calories am I burning? Or when I'm doing exercise of martial arts, I've got to keep up those skills, right? Just to keep on top of everything. Like, I know I'm getting older, so therefore I know the young people are coming in and they're going to take my job. So I've got to keep up, you know? And but luckily I love it. So what else would I do with my time?
Wake surf. wake surf all the time.
Exactly.
No, it's an incredible skill set and so, so vast. We've ridden motorbikes together.
Yeah.
We've wake surfed together and all of the other six skills plus more. That you've mentioned, that's quite a hefty load.
It is.
When it comes to meeting men, do you find yourself in a situation where men potentially feel inferior because you could give them the backy on the bike? Like, would you trust a non-stunt guy to take you on a motorbike?
Well, it depends. I mean, I meet a lot of motocross guys, my motorbike guys, so. I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's hard, actually, meeting men, I think. Especially because, like you say, we do so much. So you've always almost got to meet your match. And I almost want them to do things that I can do, but almost better. Because otherwise, yeah, I do feel like, okay, I can do that. And I can do that. But what can you do? But to be fair, you know, it's good to keep things separate. Like, I like to do things by myself with you and all my other friends. So, you know, it's a balance. But yeah, I think that's why it is hard. And also, I spend so much time doing it and training that I probably should spend more time leaving time for men to come into my life rather than, you know, training at everything. But I think, yeah, I don't fuck. That's a hard one. That's a hard question, actually.
It is a tough one. But as somebody who is at the top of her game and continuing to excel, it does leave minimal time for meeting people unless they're doing what you love to do.
Yeah, it's true. And also, you know, you'll meet men on the job, right? Our industry is a man's world. And therefore, you'll meet the stunt guys who can do everything that you can do. And better at that, right? Because you have all these guys that, you know, they're specialists at whatever they do. So you're going to meet the guys that are top of their game, which is pretty attractive. I mean, if a guy's talented, I mean, they go from like a 5 to like, you know,
an 8, 9, 10.
Yeah, exactly. They're up there.
They're up there.
They are.
Perhaps I can come to work with you for a day and you can introduce me.
Exactly.
To some of the stuntmen. That's not happened yet.
Well, we can do that. That's next.
Yeah.
We'll do that
after
next.
After the podcast.
After the podcast.
So
set you to set.
So where can people see you next in physical action? I know there's
a particular movie coming out quite soon.
Yeah.
Mission Impossible, Ghost Reckoning, which, another Tom Cruise movie. And, you know, I did some of the fights in that. But to be fair, it was so long ago we filmed it. We started filming that in 2019 or 2020.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, I can't even, I mean, it's a big movie, big action.
When we're watching the movie, is there a particular moment that we should look out for you? The action.
Oh, the action.
The real nitty-gritty bit.
I mean, obviously, fighting's my thing. So I would say probably we shot in Venice and there was a big, big old bridge fight. So I can't say too much, obviously. But yeah, I'd say watch out for that bridge.
Was it? Did it look a bit like that?
Yeah, exactly like that.
I thought so.
I doubled Hayley Atwell and I doubled Rebecca Ferguson.
Both.
On that. Both. Yeah, luckily,
casual.
5'7", same kind of size. So yeah, that was a pretty good job. That was.
Was that slightly easier when it came to the comparison? Were you able to have a cheeky slice of pizza here and there?
I mean, of course. I mean, it's a balance, isn't it? Right. You go to these locations and, of course, if I'm in Florence or wherever, I'm going to try the best truffle pasta and truffle pizza, aren't I?
Yeah, it would be rude not
to. It would be rude not to.
I also know you're doing a little bit of acting. Is that a natural transition for a stuntie to fall into the acting world?
Yeah, I think so. I never actually wanted to do it as a kid. I was so shy. And everyone's always asked me, they're like, don't you want to go into acting? Don't you want to be the main person? And every time, it doesn't even do it for me. I'm just like, nah, I don't want to do the lines. It freaks me out. And I'd rather just be pulled in when I need to do the fun bit of action and then get on and do my other things and rehearse other gags. You know, it's the fun kind of side to it, right? But now saying that, I don't know if it's because I'm getting older and they prefer my look, but they usually get me into play an assassin role. And
that's cool.
Yeah, it's quite cool. Yeah. So now I'm starting to kind of love these roles that I get and play a character, which actually is quite fun because a lot of the times, obviously, like comparison, like we said, you're always comparing instead of the shape they're in, you're comparing what you look like, your moves towards them. So now it's quite nice that I don't have to look at anyone else. I don't have to copy anyone else. I don't have to copy their steps if they do it differently. I don't have to look like them when I move. I can actually do my own thing, move how I want to move, and therefore they know it's me. So yeah, I'm quite enjoying the acting side. So probably should get some acting lessons to be able to act properly. But
that is going to require you to pause the physical element of your day for at least 2 hours. How do you feel about that?
I don't know how I feel about that. It's a struggle. It is a struggle.
Maybe do that in the winter, not in the summer.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I mean, now it's a matter of finding time to actually train at the acting side and learning, because that's a whole new skill set. And so yeah.
And you do have a couple of acting jobs coming up. Can you tell us about those? Or
well,
is that top secret? Because that's kind of a whole new level.
Yeah. I mean, I did one last year. Won't say too much, just because actually you never know, right? You never know, it might get cut.
Got you.
And
this is why you are my most humble friend.
Just in case. I'm like, yeah, I've been in this movie and then it never shows. So yeah, I worked in a movie last year. Won't name the movie just in case. And then, yeah, I got a character role. I mean, actually another stunt girl was up for it, but I did the choreography for it and they were like, well, why don't you just play the character? And I just thought, well, yeah, I mean, I could. And then I got the part and it was incredible. I mean, I got a driver and everything. It was brilliant.
That different tier, different level.
Different level.
Stunty.
I can think of that.
You have to drive yourself to work. And when you're an actor.
Oh, yeah. You get driven. They're like, do you want a car? I was like, yes, I want a car.
Do you get nutrition then as well?
No. It was only a couple of days, actually. But that was a cool job. And then I've got another couple of jobs coming up, which, again, I mean, they're using my strengths as what the character will be doing.
That must be really wholesome. To now know through all of your graft, through your work ethic, that you are getting chosen purely on merit for being you and your skill set.
Yeah. Yeah. It's incredible.
That must give you some form of confidence walking into the office.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty, I don't know. It's amazing just coming from when I was 22 to 31 now, and being able to actually give part of me and have me do what I know what I'm doing best on the big screen. So yeah, it's kind of a surreal. Incredible. Yeah, it's cool. But I'm waiting for those things to come out. So I'm just hoping that I don't get cringed out when I look at myself on the camera. Because it's one thing looking at yourself moving, but then one thing looking at your actual face.
But what makes you say that? What's that complex?
Maybe just because I'm just not used to it, right? You know, you look at yourself back when you have to do a self-tape, for instance, and you have to act on it, and you always criticize yourself, right? Everything I'm criticizing at, like whether I do a video for fighting, whether I do a video for acting, you always criticize everything and something is always wrong with it. So
do you think that criticism has allowed you to become the stunt performer you are today?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Because I'm such a perfectionist. So if I wasn't so hard on myself, I don't think I would have got to where I am now. Maybe a bit too hard on myself sometimes, because I get annoyed at myself, frustrated. And sometimes I just need to cool off and just be like, look, it's cool. Like, if I'm not going to get it now, I'll get it another time. And like anything, it's just consistency. And for me, I definitely need rehearsal time and just to be confident in what I'm doing to be able to do the best job I can.
Unreal. So I'm going to read you a little something from your first boss. I spoke to him yesterday.
Oh, gosh.
Wade Eastwood. How would you describe Wade?
Wade is being like a major, major part of my stunt career. You know, he brought me in from when I was literally nothing, just literally trained up all my skills, which, you know, it's like the bottom. And then you're getting this guy who's done all the biggest movies, who's taking you on to train you up to be the best stuntwoman in the world, right? I mean, he just loves to help people, and you can see that.
Okay, on that then, I'm going to read what he has said. So he said, I would say she is one of the top performers in the world today. That's one accolade to have under your name. And when it comes to talent, some don't have natural ability and have to work harder. You had tons of natural ability and learnt how to apply it through work ethic and dedication to training.
Go on, my friend. Appreciate that.
Go on, Wade.
That was lovely. Thank you.
So when it comes to your training.
Yes.
On the days like today, when you wake up and you're tired, you're exhausted and you're questioning your why, how do you pick yourself up and continue to push for excellence in everything you do?
Just get up. Just go do it.
No thought.
No thought. Just like, alarm set. Right, I'm up. I'm going to get it done. Yeah, and also I know that I'm just going to feel good afterwards. And I just love it. Like, literally, I wake up. Like, on a Sunday, for instance, I know that Monday's coming. And Monday's where my training starts. And I just think, fuck, I've got to book all the training in, message all my one-to-ones, see what I'm doing, and I just get excited for it. You know, I love to learn, and that's one thing why I think I do what I do, and I push for perfection, because I just love to learn. Like, I literally, all I want to do is learn the new skill.
So would you say the curiosity and desire to learn is what inspires you to keep going?
Definitely, yeah. And I just love to sweat, love to push myself, love to do a little competition just to see where I'm at, and yeah, I just
you're making me feel absolutely fired up, motivated, and inspired. You know that run? Think we need to erase.
Because I learn new skills. Like, we love handstanding, right? Like, I see someone handstanding on, say, Instagram or whatever, and I think, I really want to do that. It's pretty cool. And then suddenly you get into it, and then you can hold it for 10 seconds, and you're like, actually, I can hold it for longer, right?
Go on then.
Oh, what were we doing there?
You just said. You just set it up.
Shit. Okay. Wait, let me take these off.
You can go first.
If you see my knickers though, tell me. I've got like black knickers on. I need to do it my way as well.
Yeah, do it your way.
No pressure. Fucking hell. Guys. Guys.
Hey. Oh, wait. There's a tree. Go on, my friend. Back.
One more.
Look at the straddle though. Look at the straddle.
Too much pressure.
Do you want me to do one?
Show me how it's done.
To relieve all pressure. There's a camera. Hold the sunnies. Oh, take the top off.
Get it all off.
Get the guns out for the lads.
That was hard. Oh.
Boom. We'll have that.
Done.
There was about 3 seconds there.
That'll do.
We'll do it later. Without microphones.
Yeah,
10 seconds.
Yeah.
What's your relationship like with Monday, the start of the week? Do you love Monday?
Love a Monday. Start of the week when I'm working, obviously. New choreography to learn, new choreography to do. So yeah, new training to happen, new skills to learn. I do love a Monday.
More pulse to dance on.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, one of the highlights for me was seeing you at Glastonbury last year.
Oh yeah.
There was a flagpole above the crowd.
There really was, yeah, there was.
And you climbed to the top of it and the crowd went absolutely nuts.
They went crazy, actually. I didn't realise. I saw a guy over there on the pole and I was like, I can do that. And then my cousins were like, Lucy, get up on that pole. Get up on there. And honestly, it was like not safe at all. It was like from there to there when I got on it. But yeah, I climbed up it, did a little trick.
And a little bit here and there.
And people were loving it. I got an applause. And I'm pretty sure I went up twice.
Of course you did.
Yeah, but yeah, it was great.
Doesn't like being front and centre of the screen, really, honestly.
When in the poll, I mean, I'm all right. I'm okay.
What's your life motto?
If you were to
leave a stamp on this podcast,
I would say, okay, maybe I have two. So I'd say, if it were easy, everyone would do it. Yeah, and then also a big one is what people think of me is none of my business.
Unreal.
You like that?
That is so strong. You don't need to know that business.
Yeah. No, you don't. Who cares? Who cares what people think?
What a takeaway. Lucy Cork, thank you so much for joining us on the Monday Mile Walk and Talk podcast. It was an absolute honour to walk with you because I know you don't like walking. In your local woods. I think the coffee's calling.
Indeed. Third coffee of the day.
Yeah, is that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's strong. Monday Mile listeners, I really, really hope you enjoyed that one. I certainly did. And I learned a little bit more about my friend. They do say the best conversations happen sideways. So here's to more walking and talking. Monday Mile listeners, you know what to do. Make sure you subscribe. And you can join us every single week. Audio drops at 12 a.m. every Monday morning. It's a wrap!